number three, Out of Bounds. William Quaggamush, Kelly Gramlich. We are live inside the Priority One Security Studios. Priority, the number one security.com. And Miami reigns. Oh, hallelujah. Miami reigns.
Hallelujah.
The Hurricanes have done it. And I don't mean just winning. I mean, give me the cover. Give me that cover, the 7.5. Let's go, Kelly Gramlich. 1-0 against the number in the ACC tournament. Give me some of that.
Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
Hogwood smiling from the heavens. That's what I'm talking about right there.
I didn't know which one you want. I hadn't played Dilly Dilly in a while.
No, so they both were excellent. They both warmed my heart right there.
They both work, right?
Oh, yes.
Also, 100%. Quad, can we just get people ready for a jam-packed hour three? Maybe you know, you're a little tired. It's that 2 o'clock, 2:30 feeling. I think this will pep you up.
Wake up!
Wake up, Upstate! I'm William Quackenbush.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. Poor Aunt Becky.
Oh, man.
It's been a tough day.
You know what? Poor Candace Cameron. Poor Jody Sweetin. Poor Dave Coulier.
Some people
Poor John
had,
Stamos.
Some people had Dave Coulier in the full house felony. What's the word? Pool.
Their felony pool, yeah.
It's Which full house pool. Actor would commit a felony? And pretty much no one had Aunt Becky. I don't think anyone had Aunt Becky in that one, Quack.
And you know what? And for good reason. For good reason you didn't have Aunt Becky in the felon pool. We'll get to the SEC championship and more nonsense coming up in a minute. But first, Will Vandervoort from the ClemsonInsider.com is joining us. At Steel of Will on Twitter. Talking a little Tigers. Some football news out of Clemson yesterday. We'll get his thoughts on that. What's up, Willie V?
Man, I'm good. But, you know, unlike you guys, I never trusted Aunt Becky. There was just something about her.
Really?
I didn't really trust
Interesting.
Her.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I never trusted Aunt Becky. She was that outsider that came into the family.
Okay, it's because she wasn't an OG. She wasn't one. She wasn't in the pilot.
Yeah, and she kind of came off as one of those girls that was like real popular in high school and came off like she was like Miss Goody Two Shoes. But you knew in the back she was that bad girl, like that girl that always caused the trouble and got all the other girls in trouble. That's kind of how I always felt like Aunt Becky was. Yeah.
Wow. So.
Well, very strong, well-thought-out
Willie
stance
B.
on Aunt Becky there.
You knew.
Wow, okay, what?
You knew
Will Vandervoort knew it the whole time. If you had to have power rankings for which Full House character would have committed a felony first, would you have had Aunt Becky number one?
No. I mean, Uncle Joey would be the way you go.
Yeah.
I think that's the way any of us would have went in that thing. Grown up back in the day, so no, she would not have been on my list. No.
Well, that and
even
Stephanie.
Though there was something about her.
Yeah, I mean, Jody Sweetin.
We know
like
the
on
middle child
went. Right?
She went kind of down a bad road there. I think she's back on track. What about Kimmy? Gibbler
was always getting shenanigans. Gibbler got hammered that time. Gibbler got hammered one time in high school.
Yeah, Gibbler's the one you would think would be the one that would go to rehab. I mean, that's what I really got. She'd be the first to go to rehab. That's
and,
what I always looked at.
What's crazy about it is Dave Coulier does like clean comedy. I don't know if he still does. He does like clean comedy. And Bob Saget's like the most vulgar human being that's yes. ever opened his mouth. And you would have put Danny like last. You'd have put Danny last on the felony power rankings.
Exactly.
Oh, mercy. Hey, let's talk a little football, shall we? How about these reports coming out of practice? Darion Kendrick's playing defense? Are things really that bad off up front? You got the D-tackle injuries, and then you've got your cornerbacks, the McMichaels and those guys that are out. I mean, that's what Clemson's doing right now, right, Willie V?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to put bodies in place.
Right.
And I think, you know, you look at the injuries, Kyler McMichael, you know, Dabo was hoping that they get him back a little bit on Monday so he could scrimmage on Wednesday. So they're hoping that's going to be the case. We'll find that out tomorrow. You know, Mario Goodrich is also injured. And so they're, you know, another guy that's down. They hope maybe to get back tomorrow. And then obviously Joseph Charleston also a little banged up. So, you know, they just got some bodies. And people need to understand that it's not like they're like thin at defensive back, at cornerback. They're not. It's just some of the guys are banged up right now.
Right.
You got to have some bodies back there because the wide receivers got to practice against somebody. And I think that's really what this is. I don't think this is don't think this is Darian Kendrick going to move over to defensive back and that's going to be his permanent spot. I don't think that's the case at all. I think this is just a matter of getting bodies in place, like they did with Ray McLeod. Just get somebody in place to practice. Maybe it kind of helps, you know, you get some cross-training there, and it kind of helps you if you do get in a situation like this next year. But when you look at the guys Clemson's got come in, they got Booth coming in the spring and the summer, I mean, they got plenty of depth at cornerback. That's not going to be an issue going into the season. This is just guys getting nicks and bruises, and, you know, it's spring ball. You don't want to rush them back into, you know, in spring ball. These are guys that have obviously played already, too. No sense in rushing them back, and, you know, it's spring. It is what it is, and so you just got to get bodies back there. I don't think it's anything to really, like, blow up about. Say, oh, my goodness, this is, you know, is he going to stay there? Because the wide receiver depth is so deep, and it is. But I think Kendrick did some good things last year at wide receiver, and I think he's probably part of Clemson's too deep right now at wide receiver, if I had to guess.
Willie V, let's talk a bit about recruiting. Mitchell Mays attended Junior Day, announced his commitment to Clemson on Monday. Yeah, that is yesterday, right? What day of the week is it?
It's Today Tuesday. Is Tuesday.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm with you guys.
Yeah, you got me. Okay.
Welcome to tournament basketball.
Yeah. Welcome to March.
We could do the full house. What day is today?
Oh, my
gosh. Since we're doing full house.
Back to football.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's the fourth offensive lineman to commit in this class. And we've talked about Clemson, and Clemson's recruited well at almost every position, really elite recruiting at almost every position, except maybe offensive line. What is going to happen with Clemson if they start getting guys like this and start bringing in five stars, four stars on the offensive line to go along with everyone else? I mean, the sky's the limit when you start recruiting like this, right?
Yeah, and let's not forget, they've already kind of started a little bit.
You with know, Jackson Carman, yeah.
Jackson Carman and Bucklers before that. So, you know, you got some good guys already there. So now you've got a foundation sort of to lay. And I think when you see a Carman there, I think that sees the other big off-time offensive lineman say, hey, you know, why not go to Clemson? Look at all those wide receivers they have. Look at those running backs. Look at the quarterback they have. Why not go there and be a part of that and win a national championship myself? I think it's very enticing to a young man, and that is the next step for Clemson. And Dabo's and Robbie Caldwell have been building it slowly anyway. I you look at the guys they got coming back this year. They got four seniors on this offensive line next year, and, you know, everybody talks about the skill players and all that, but when you look at who they got coming back on the offensive line and then the guys they got coming behind them that – played a lot last year as well, there's some depth on that offensive line, and it's actually one of the strengths of the team right now. So, you know, now you're building more depth by bringing in some more guys, some top-of-the-line guys, because let's be honest, those four seniors are going to graduate. You're going to need some bodies next year. So they're filling their needs, and they're bringing in some elite talent, and this is without a doubt some of the best offensive linemen Clemson's ever brought in one season right now that they got committed, and that's going to bode well for the future. But, you know, when you got a guy named Trevor Lawrence sitting there at quarterback, you want to get the best of the best to block for him. And they got that with Jackson Carman, and that now looks like they're going to try to bring some more guys in to help as well.
Visiting with Will Vandevoort at theclemsoninsider.com, at Sheila Will on Twitter, talking Tigers with us here this afternoon. Let's shift gears to baseball a little bit before we hit you with basketball. The Tigers get a series sweep of North Carolina this weekend. It's a total 180 from what we saw against South Carolina. Deep pitching, clutch hitting, great at-bats late in the game. You hate to say turned a corner because it could just be that South Carolina was a one-off maybe they were going to play better through the course of the year, and South Carolina was going to be just a weird low point for them. This may be a high point for and they may come back to earth this weekend. We really don't know. But with Coastal Carolina coming up tomorrow, some of the decisions that Monty Lee made and the pitching staff, I mean, where do you see Clemson baseball right now in terms of confidence? Is it the team that we saw against South Carolina? Is it the team that we saw against North Carolina? Or is it somewhere in between? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere in between. First of all, I've got to give kudos to Monty Lee and his staff there, Andrew C. and Bradley LaCroix, for the job those guys did getting them ready for North Carolina. We talked to Sam Hall after the series at South Carolina, and they were extremely disappointed. I mean, there were long faces in that dugout. They were not happy, but this was a young team, keep in mind, and, you know, it's the first time they lost to their rivals in 5 years, and, it says something about the coaching staff and the leaders on that team, like a Logan Davidson, to, keep everybody's spirits up and get them ready for what's really important, which is the conference tournament. I mean, the conference regular season, and then having to immediately play one of the top teams in the country, a team that's favored to go to the College World Series in North Carolina, and just to come out and pitch as well as they did all weekend, and then even, you know, and get the timely hits they got. I mean, when you look at game one, they rallied from that 1-0, but in the late innings, got some big hits, and of course, got the help there with the balk to win the game at the end, but they had to tie the game up first, and they did that. And then you look at the walk-off win on Sunday, you know, and you got Sam Hall getting a double with two outs to kind of get things going. And then, of course, with two strikes, Logan Davidson just sends it over the Cajun Cafe there. You know, that's your players, your big players that you're counting on to make plays, making plays for you in the clutch. And that just builds confidence. And then the pitching, like you mentioned, Kwok was outstanding all weekend, and that was a total surprise to me, especially with the starting pitching. That a week ago in South Carolina, the starting pitching was dreadful. But then this week it was a complete turnaround. And just very impressive job Andrew C. did getting his pitching staff ready to go up against that North Carolina pitching staff that's one of the best in the country. And I thought Clemson did an outstanding job.
Well, Levy, let's shift gears to a little basketball. We know there's so much going on right now. I went on a little bit of a rant yesterday, I'll be honest, when I saw that Kai Bowman was named to the was named second team All ACC, and Marquise Reed, the third leading scorer in the conference, was named third team All ACC. Kai Bowman on a 5-win team, Marquise Reed on a 9-win team. What were your thoughts on Marquise Reed being named to the third team?
Yeah, that was a little surprising to me, too, because Marquise also, Kelly, I don't know if you put this argument out, but he was a second-team All-ACC guy last year.
Yes.
And I thought Keith, more than anything, he improved from a year ago. He improved as a scorer. Like you mentioned, he's the third-leading scorer in the conference. I think he's a better overall basketball player now than he was a year ago, where you see how he's contributing. As Brownell told me yesterday in a story I'm working on, you know, talking about the, you know, he's look at the rebounds. How, you know, what he's doing on rebounds, how he's more of an assist guy this year. Brown says this is the best he can remember Marquise being a guy that's distributing the ball as well as scoring. He's also creating things for other people. And then, you know, he talked about, you know, defensively how much better he's gotten. And I think, you know, you saw that in those key game wins over Notre Dame with a big steal and then getting a couple big steals against Syracuse the other day as well. You know, I was surprised too. And if it wasn't for the fact that, like, if it was a North Carolina player or Duke player, I would go with the conspiracy theory here. It boggles my mind that it happened to a guy that, like you said, that was on a 5-win team. That surprised me. But you can't claim conspiracy theory, because usually you always say, well, you know, most of the media is in the triangle, and those guys are always going to vote for North Carolina and Duke and NC State. But that wasn't the case here. It was a BC guy.
That's what's so baffling. I mean, you know, that BC bias runs rampant around the triangle. Yeah. That was just so odd to me they put Kai Bowman there.
That one guy's vote.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened? Did the Clemson people forget to vote or something?
Right.
And the Boston Globe guy got his vote in? I mean,
the Boston Globe sent every employee they have to vote?
Yeah, exactly. We know that's not the case because we know Clemson people voted in it, but that's just, it's crazy though that's what happened. And so it is what it is, you know. I think maybe it's a good thing for Marquise though, because maybe he'll use it to put a chip on his shoulder and he'll go out there and try to prove people wrong, which I see him doing, because that's the kind of player he is. He's a guy that he loves to play off that kind of motivation.
One or two more for you. I want to ask you this, because Marquise Reed, we talked about, he seems like a guy who might be, if you believe emojis on Twitter, he might be a little bit motivated to do some mm-hmm. neat stuff in the ACC tournament, perhaps. And they face an NC State team against which he went 5-17 from the floor, kind of had to do it from the foul line and missed the 4 free throws. So it's redemption in a lot of ways for Reed coming up tomorrow. Do you expect a big game from him against the Wolfpack, and how do you expect that to play out for Clemson?
Man, did you read my story?
I set you up perfectly right there. Boom.
Yeah, you're like reading my story, dude. I was sitting there looking at it like, this is kind of weird.
I know how you think.
This is definitely a redemption kind of game for Marquise. And, you know, he like you said, he didn't shoot very well against them up there in Raleigh, and he didn't shoot the free throws very well, which he takes a lot of pride in free throw shooting. And, you know, after that game, he went back to Little John and went out there and shot like 500 free throws, I think he said, or something, when he got back that day, that night of, and stayed and shot more free throws. And he shot all very well since from the free throw line. So, he knows what happened up there in Raleigh and that it costs his team a game. And, you know, he knows they're sitting on the bubble right now. And so they're going to be, you know, the team's going to be hungry anyway, but I think Marquise is going to be even as hungrier, if that's a word, I guess, to go out there and show people that he's better than that and that he wants to carry this team back to the NCAA tournament.
As far as the tournament goes, how do you expect it to play out, Willie V? Are any surprises, any shockers, or is it going to be very chalkish?
I think the only one would be like who that fourth semifinal team is. I think you're going to get, obviously, Virginia. I think you're going to get Duke and North Carolina. But who's going to be that one, that fourth one? Who's going to bring up the semifinals? You know, so Virginia, and then you got two and three with North Carolina and Duke. So, and right now, you know, I think that can be anybody, you know, in that other bracket, because it's just, I don't think, you know, you look at Florida State, you look at those guys, I just don't think there's anybody that's been super dominant that says they're the fourth seed. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I think is the other one, like Virginia Tech and Florida State, I guess that would be the other one.
Yes.
I can see either one of those two being in there, because it just hasn't been, you know, that four from the top three have been consistent all year. But the rest of the conference, it's anybody's game. And so I think that's what's going to be. So the top three are definitely going to happen. Though I could see Syracuse upset Duke. I could see that happening as well. Just because they've beaten them before. And when you've beaten a team and you beat them on the road, you have a lot of confidence that you can win a game. And they beat them with Zion Williamson. So that's not going to bother them either. So we'll see how it's going to be. You know, the ACC tournament always gives us one or two surprises every year. That's why it's the best conference tournament in America. And I think we'll probably see maybe one or two of those again this year.
All right, Willie V, I'm going to put you on the spot, because the next time we talk to you, the tournament field will be set. So here's the question. If Clemson beats NC State tomorrow, will they make the NCAA tournament?
Yes, and they will not be first four. They'll be a 10 or 11 seed.
Okay. I like that, Willie V. You answer my question and you give me even more. I appreciate that.
That's what we like. We put the guy on the spot on a Tuesday, not even a Wednesday. It's going up on a Tuesday.
Willie, on a Tuesday before games even happen.
That's correct. And we appreciate that. Thanks so much, my man. We appreciate you joining us. As always, check him out, theclemsoninsider.com. At Sealy Will on Twitter. Be good, my man. Hopefully we'll see you this week. And we'll do it again next week, maybe on a Wednesday, maybe a normal day.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe I'll be doing it from somewhere besides Dayton.
Oh, yes. That would be preferable. Let's all pray for that, right?
Exactly. All right, guys. All right. Well, y'all be good, man. We'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Thanks very much. Will Vandervoort joining us here on the program. We have Hump Day headlines coming your way. We also have SEC basketball tournament. I want to preview Coastal Carolina and Clemson if we can a little bit. Preview NC State, Clemson. We got a lot still to come. Stay with us. More to come Out of Bounds in a moment.
Landscaping professionals expect maximum productivity from their equipment, and they'll find it with the line of Ferris zero-turn mowers, available exclusively at Landscaper Supply of Easley. Locally owned and managed, Landscaper Supply of Easley proudly carries Ferris zero-turn mowers, and they invite you to their open house March 13th. Landscaper Supply of Easley, 420 Williams Avenue, off 123, 859-4230. Ferris zero-turn mowers from Landscaper Supply of Easley.
The 2018 model blowout sale rolls on at George Coleman Ford, where trucks cost less than travelers less. Like a Ford Expedition XLT with moonroof and leather. Suggested retail in $61,855. Sale price at just $50,999. We're talking great deals at George Coleman Ford, with the fourth generation of Colemans taking great care of you. The 18 model blowout sale at George Coleman Ford.
Everyone qualifies. All for good through April 4th, 2019.
Are you craving a juicy steak cooked just the way you want it? The Blue Heron in Clemson offers only the best selection of meats, sushi, sides, house-made pizza, drinks, and desserts. Join them for happy hour 7 days a week at the downstairs bar, open until midnight. Catch the game on big screen TVs with your friends. 405 College Avenue in Clemson. Call 864-653-3354 for reservations. Visit BlueHeronFood.com for full menu and more information. That's BlueHeronFood.com.
J. Grady Randolph is hiring. Specializing in flatbed hauling since 1935, JGR has deep roots in the Carolinas and proudly supports the Clemson Tigers. Start your new career today by calling 864-761-4041. J. Grady Randolph offers competitive pay and free family health care coverage. Local and regional positions available. Call 864-761-4041 or get more information online at driveforjgr.com. That's driveforjgr.com.
Toro's kicking off spring by offering huge savings on lawnmowers during the Toro Spring Sales Event at participating dealers. Save big with up to $1,500 off select models plus special financing for qualified buyers. Now's the time to get a new Toro mower and start enjoying unbeatable performance combined with huge rebates. Offers end March 28th, so hurry in now for Toro's biggest sales event of the year. Visit Toro.com/local to find a dealer near you.
We're here at the Trane Heating and Air Conditioning Testing Facility to see how unstoppable their products really are.
All right, well, I don't like this one at all. Okay, inside this climate chamber, it's raining incredibly hard on this Trane AC unit. It's 5 to 6 inches of water an hour, actually. Apparently, this room also does icy rain, but I'm definitely not sticking around for that. I'm completely soaked, but this machine doesn't seem to be slowing down at all. Clearly, it's hard to stop a Trane.
During the Trane Unstoppable event, now through May 31st, buy a qualifying Trane system from Pittman Heating and Air and choose special financing for 48 months or up to a $1,000 trade-in allowance on a qualifying new Trane system. Visit PittmanAC.com or call 864-606-3769 for complete program eligibility, dates, details, and restrictions. That's PittmanAC.com, subject to credit approval. License number M1646.
Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand.
Out of bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
How to knock you up myself.
Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
It's such a
All right, we need to get back to this just for a moment. We need to get back to the Aunt Becky scandal of the day where Lori Loughlin and the Desperate Housewives woman and a bunch of other people are allegedly going to jail, like upwards of 50 people, in this scheme to either pay people to change SAT scores or take the test or help them with the test or whatever, or to prop them up as athletes so that they gain admission into schools for, like, you know, $1 million, millions of dollars exchanging hands and all this stuff. But then there's more to this. And remember we said it was smaller sports before, but we knew that it would be higher up because these athletic administrators were too high up to just be dealing with, you
know. This wasn't just going to be polo, water polo.
Right.
Not actual polo.
Here's a, from Yahoo Sports, okay. We got this from a couple different people on Twitter and appreciate folks continuing to keep us updated on this. Nick Bromberg wrote this. An alleged college entrance fraud scheme revealed by federal authorities on Tuesday included the creation of fake football players to get around USC's academic standards. So this is now a football deal. College prep business run by William Rick Singer would create athlete profiles for kids, blah, blah, blah. Then the senior associate AD, Donna Heinel, would admit the kids into USC as athletes instead of regular students. Heinel's been charged with racketeering conspiracy, which, I mean, that's a really big deal. In addition to helping students get into USC as football recruits, Heinel allegedly did the same thing for kids' positions as basketball and crew recruits. Per the indictment, Singer, identified as cooperating witness one, told the defendants that positioning his son as a football player would increase his son's odds of getting into USC by 90% thanks to Heinel's cooperation. The son of William McGashlin was positioned as a kicker who would walk on at USC despite going to high school that doesn't have a football team.
Stop it. Stop it right now.
The alleged scheme even went as far as photoshopping McGashlin's son to make it look like he was a football player. If they get a son accepted as to USC as a fake kicker or punter, his odds of admission jump 90%, blah, 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 da, 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 da. Get a profile pic, any pictures of him playing sports, he's asking. It will be helpful because I will photoshop him onto a kicker. So they just want a face so they can photoshop him onto a kicker. the son of a liquor distributor, distribution CEO, was also positioned as a fake long snapper to get into USC. That fake football profile was created in conjunction with alleged entrance exam fraud. Marcy Politella gave the College Prep Business a fake SAT score to go with the fake football profile. Her son was admitted into USC in November 2017. Unbelievable. The son of Douglas Hodge, an investment management company CEO, also had a fake football player profile. That profile, per the indictment, was tweaked to make it more realistic after input from Heinel. Quote, Heinel provided handwritten edits to the football profile. This is the SWA, the Senior Women's Administrator at USC. Provided handwritten edits to the football profile and indicated that the photograph included on the profile should be exchanged for a, quote, better picture, close quote. That was, quote, more athletic, close quote. USC mailed Hodges' son a formal acceptance letter on or about March 24, 2015. Exactly 1 week later, Hodge mailed Heinel a $75,000 check payable to the USC Women's Athletic Board on or about April, which is an account that she runs where more than $1 million was funneled into for her.
Oh, she runs it. Let's put it that way.
On or about April 1st, April Fool's, Hodge wired $125,000 to The Key and $125,000 to KWF, which is the company that's kind of set all this up. CW1, Cooperating Witness 1, in turn, directed a payment of $50,000 from KWF to a bank account controlled in part by Janky in the name of SC Football Academy, a private soccer team. So these administrators were just getting these kickbacks and putting them into hidden accounts. And it's football. Football's now involved in this.
Here's my question. And I think some of these articles, I know some of these articles said that most of the time the kids did not know. Do you think that's true here? When these dads and these parents and moms are faking all of this, sending all these pictures, these quote unquote, give me a more athletic picture. He played football, but his high school doesn't have a football team, all these things. Do these kids know, or does their acceptance letter just show up at their house and they think they got into USC? Because from what I understand, it's more the second part of that, that they just don't know. And they think they got into USC, and behind the scenes, their parents are paying $500,000 to get them in.
Yep. That's kind of what it seems like to me.
In the case of Aunt Becky's daughter, she even said she doesn't really even want to go to school. That part is just crazy. That Aunt Becky, Lori Loughlin, paid $500,000 to get her in. And she said on her YouTube channel that she's mainly going to school for the tailgates and to party. And she doesn't even really know if she'll stay.
Let's go to Pat from Easley. This thing, it kind of makes my skin crawl a little bit. Administrators are becoming millionaires in this. Millionaires. Pat from Easley's up with us next. Northern Communication phone lines. What's up, Pat?
I have no words for this. I mean, I'm going to talk about closing basketball, but yeah, man, this stuff is crazy, man. I mean, like, it's crazy. The thing is that, you know, college sports, when they say it's a big-time business, this is like a serious big-time business when you get administrators and people all involved with trying to get their kids in school and the way they're doing it. And it's crazy. I never would have thought I heard something like this.
Look,
I've seen it in other sports, but this is totally different.
Well, we think basketball's corrupt. It ain't no more corrupt than water polo and tennis, apparently.
Right. Like, hey, we thought the small sports was like, hey, we're not paying to go see these sports, but hey, somebody paying.
Hey, you're not paying to go see them, but somebody is paying to get the athletes on the roster so that when you don't go see them,
right,
you don't know that they're not playing. That's kind of what the deal is.
Kickbacks, coaches, ADs, everybody involved in the scheme. Everybody making some money.
That's true. That's very true.
Oh, man. About the basketball team, I really haven't made no call in about the basketball team all season because I just kind of wanted to play it back and see how things are going. I knew a lot of people was upset how they've been playing and how some of the games they lost. I was even upset, you know, as a fan. But if they take the way they played the second half against Syracuse, and that's the thing about when you go to the tournament with Clemson, over the history, it's like, you see them play good certain games at the end, and then when they get to the tournament, it's like something is different. They sometimes they go to play good, sometimes they don't, and you don't know how they're going to play tomorrow. But what I watched that second half of the Syracuse game was the kind of team I expected them to be all season. Maybe with the less scoring, I thought they would score more, but the way they played defense on Syracuse, I mean, it was in your face. thick defense. They couldn't hardly get guys free to get open. Battle was struggling with Scarra. And still on the hot card, they make all defensive team. He got multiple player of the, defensive player of the year. Don't understand that one. But that's the kind of plays they have to play in order to not only win this game, but even if they win tomorrow to play against Virginia. Because the Virginia game was, to me, as good as Virginia was, it was kind of fluky at Clemson in the second half. The big 7-footer comes in and makes a 3-point shot off the backboard, and they couldn't miss a three the rest of the game. And Clemson couldn't hit shots. And so, but if they bring that emotion and that stick-to-itiveness on the defense end, like they did against Syracuse, they got a chance to win that game tomorrow. I don't know if they can go any further past Virginia, but that's the way they got to play. That's one of the best defense to play. I seen that team play. That was the best defense I seen them play all season. Was that second half against Syracuse? It was all over you.
No, you're right about that, Pat. And I do think if they play like that tomorrow, then they'll win comfortably. I mean, a couple of things about that. You mentioned Scarra. I think Scarra's ability to switch and really just bother people. Like, there's nothing like coming off a screen and then seeing another guy. And it becomes demoralizing, especially when you're not a great offensive team to begin with. The other thing is Reed, when he's really in the zone, which it's hard to tell when he isn't in the zone, when it, you know, prediction wise, but you can easily tell because he starts getting in passing lanes. He'll poke the ball away from players with the ball in their hands, all that stuff. And then you keep Thomas on the floor and out of foul trouble. And if you don't do that, then you got to get minutes from Javen White. And I'll be interested to see, because I didn't think White played that great. I'm not even sure he played many minutes against NC State the first time, but he seems to be playing with a lot more confidence now. I want to see if they can get a few minutes from him in this game tomorrow, and give Thomas a little bit of a breather. I feel like you're going to need somebody else from the bench to step up too. Trapp or Tyson or Newman or somebody. You're going to need somebody else on that bench to step up, because otherwise then you're kind of playing a tit-for-tat game with NC State. That'll be the way to break the tie, because I think you can play the type of defense you played before against NC State with no problem. You just got to be able to play a little bit deeper than you did there at NC State, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think, like we were talking about with Trapp, I think he's key. I thought he was key Saturday in the second half in that run when he came in for Mitchell, because they kind of really stepped it up defensively and really kind of extended on their lead. And so Trapp would be huge, like you said. Mitchell, my thing with Mitchell right now is, I don't know with his knees and stuff, I don't know what it is, but sometimes when I'm watching him shoot, it seems like he's still not getting enough lift on his jump when he takes the jump shot. Sometimes it's like the ball is line driving to the basket instead of with arching in his shot. And it just seems like that's kind of got him off. And I would like to see him just get more lift on his shot. Even when he drives, he has to get a little bit more up. And I don't know if that's causing his knees bothering him or not. But like I said, that second half against Syracuse, that was a clinic on the deep, especially on the defense end. But it was just the way they played, the way they played with the emotion and getting out there, and that's what they got to do. You know, they got to do that tomorrow, and they got to do that if they get past NC State, really, especially against Virginia, who can shut you down. But that's what I want to see. You know, they got the side, because to me they got a guy on the outside and Marquise, and then you got the big guy in the middle. So you got the in and out game with those two guys. And like you said, if you can keep Eli out of foul trouble and really get out of it, they got a chance. They got a chance, and they got a chance if they get to the tournament to do damage.
I agree. Pat, I appreciate it, my man. Good stuff.
All right, brother.
All right.
See you later, Kelly. Bye-bye.
Pat getting in with some good basketball stuff there. Another thing about Clemson, too. Honestly, I'm not that worried. If they play well, they're beating NC State. I'm sorry. If Clemson plays poorly, they can lose. There's a chance they play poorly. But I've watched a lot of NC State this year. I've watched Clemson all year long. I just think if Clemson plays well, there's no amount of good play from NC State that's going to be good enough to beat Clemson. I just don't think the matchup is that wonky that we could say that.
I did just see on Twitter that Eric Lockett, the fifth-year senior for NC State, who was being, what's the word? Not, he was sitting out.
He was being
held
investigated.
Out, being held out.
Yeah.
He was being investigated.
Yeah.
for assaulting a woman. He's been cleared, and he's back. For NC State, he will play tomorrow against Clemson. He had 5 points, 5 boards against the Tigers when they first played. He's averaging 5 points and 3.5 rebounds. But he's kind of a depth piece for them. He'll give them a little more depth. He has good size on the perimeter. So that's something to watch out for if you think, well, that guy hasn't played for them since February 9th, which he hasn't played since the Pittsburgh game. They have him back as a fifth-year senior who, Quack, he's a fifth-year senior who's played at four schools in 5 years. So there's that.
Correct.
The other thing is we had somebody on the Helter text line a little bit ago, and we were talking about Virginia, and I said Virginia was probably the second best matchup for Clemson of the top four seeds mm-hmm. behind just North Carolina. Somebody's like, well, when's the last time that we played with Virginia over the course of a game?
It was last year
in the ACC tournament in this very same venue where Clemson pushed them and lost by six.
Not the same venue, but yeah.
Well, yeah, in the same tournament.
Same tournament. Brooklyn, Charlotte, a little different.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like Clemson's playing with enough confidence right now. And look, they against Virginia, they got good shots early in the game. People forget that. And in fact, I got ridiculed for saying that online on Twitter during the game. Clemson missed every shot. They missed open layups. They blew opportunities to score against Virginia. They might do that again. They were running good stuff. And, you know, people are irrational, so they say, well, Quark, isn't it the name of the game to get? I'm just telling you they're running good stuff. It's not like they're running crappy offense and getting terrible shots. But we saw Clemson run crappy offense and get terrible shots against Florida State. We've seen them against Virginia run crappy offense and get terrible shots before. That was last year at Virginia. This year in Clemson, Clemson did not run crappy offense, and they did get good shots, and he missed them. They ran good offense and got good shots against Syracuse early and missed them. Just because you're running good offense doesn't mean you're scoring and vice versa. Just because you're scoring doesn't mean you're running good offense. To me, it gives Clemson confidence that they were able to run good offense and get open looks against Virginia. You have to knock them down. Mm-hmm. You have to do that.
And I think it does give them confidence that last year they played them well. You know, you didn't play him well in Little John this year. You never play him well in Charlottesville. It's not going to happen. But on a neutral site, the Tigers did push Virginia last year. So that's a good sign. Quark, we have another tidbit of information from this scandal.
Oh, boy.
I want to give it to you on the other side because we've seen big numbers. We've seen six figures go to the middleman. A certain soccer coach at one of these schools received a check themselves, pocketed $400,000 to get a kid into their school.
And wow.
This player was not a soccer player.
We'll discuss. Plus, we have some Hump Day headlines.
Think of which school you think it is. Don't look it up. I want you to guess which school it is of all the ones that were implicated in this.
Okay. I've got my guess.
Okay.
Stay with us. Final segment of the program is coming up next.
This Wednesday night, the Tigers return to Doug Kingsmore Stadium to host Coastal Carolina in an important midweek contest. The pregame show will begin at 5:30 p.m. with first pitch at 6 p.m. right here on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Catch every minute of Clemson baseball as the road to Omaha continues right here in the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
You've heard folks talk about the sauce at Joe's New York Pizza. I'm here to tell you it is the sauce that makes the lasagna so great. Believe me, I know lasagna, and Joe's New York Pizza lasagna is my favorite. Their homemade marinara sauce, beef, ricotta, and mozzarella cheese loaded with their special spices. The lasagna at Joe's New York Pizza, which comes with a salad and those famous garlic knots, is where it's at. Seneca or Clemson, make it Joe's New York Pizza for lasagna with the sauce.
With spring around the corner, Goodyear and the Pendleton Tire Company are kicking savings into high gear. Now through March 31st, get incredible deals on some of our best tires for wet conditions, like the all-weather Goodyear Assurance Weather Ready, built with advanced traction for superior performance on slick roads. Get fresh deals for your wheels with savings up to $200 by rebate when you use your Goodyear credit card. Subject to credit approval. Come see Zach or Joey for complete details or check them out at PendletonTire.com.
Mickey Pollard here with another great offer from Zero Res. Spring is upon us, and so is the dust and dirt. Now through the end of March, mention Mickey Pollard and get 3 rooms of carpet clean for only $119 and a hallway for free. Get ahead of the spring cleaning rush. And did you know that Zero Res also cleans air ducts? call for a free estimate, 864-558-7300, or book online at ZeroResGreenville.com. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
Jamie here from Plum Home Decor and Gift Boutique in downtown Easley. If you're looking for something unique, stop by and see us at 115 West Main Street. We carry home decor items, small furnishings, lighting, designer wallpaper, and more. You'll also find accessories and gifts for men, women, and children, not to mention fabulous local wine, oils, and honey. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Plum on Main or call 864-671-6153. Plum on Main, downtown Easley, locally owned and operated by Clemson grads. Go Tigers!
The first weekend of the NCAA tournament is the greatest betting event of the year. Whether you like filling out a bracket, picking a national champion, predicting first-round upsets, or all of the above, MyBookie is the perfect home for your March Madness fun. Will Zion Williamson and his teammates cement their legacy at Duke with a title? Can Virginia get past its loss to a 16 seed last year? And can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? If you know the answers, or even if you don't, MyBookie is the place to get in on the action. They have something for everyone, even you. Multiple bracket guy, MyBookie has been in business for years. Their goal is to give you the best customer service in the business. And the best part is, they pay out fast when you win. I'm talking 48 hours. Bet with the best. Then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash in. Deposit with MyBookie today with promo code RADIO for a 50% sign-up bonus. That's promo code RADIO. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
A lady who loves football. That's a real woman.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
Inflatable pool, full of dad's hot air. Well, I was 3 years old, splashing everywhere.
Kwok, isn't this a better day for this song? It's actually a really nice day out there, and I am very excited about
that. Yeah, it's a nice day. It's not raining, so we're not having, you know, we're not all just yelling at each other every time anybody says anything. Oh, yeah, well, it's raining, so stop being happy.
I haven't seen the sun in days. It feels good. That's what we do. It feels good. This gets me ready for a little summertime. Little lake action, all that good stuff. And Laction, exactly. Mm. I do want to tell you guys this last hour, this last segment, really, of Out of Bounds is brought to you in part by Toyota of Easley. You can go see them today on Highway 123, right across from Chick-fil-A, right there in the middle of Easley. They have tons of new and used inventory in stock. Every certified used Toyota comes with a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Every new Toyota comes with a 2-year, 25,000-mile free maintenance plan. I get my car serviced over there at Toyota of Easley. They always do an excellent job. They also give away $1,000 every 2 weeks at Toyota of Easley. All you have to do to enter to win is test drive a new or used car. Check out their website, toyotaofeasley.com. You can also give them a call, 864-855-2233. That's Toyota of Easley.
All right, I have my guess for who this soccer coach who pocketed $400,000 what program is
all
from.
Right.
I'm going to go UCLA.
That'd be incorrect.
Oh.
Do you have another guess?
San Diego?
Incorrect. It's one school that is just not like any of the others.
Is it Wake?
No, it's not Wake.
Yale.
Yale.
Yale men's soccer coach.
No, Yale women's soccer coach, who is a man.
Okay, there we go. All right. That was sexist. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'll read this.
Yeah.
So they sent a falsified athletic profile to him. The profile falsely describes an applicant as the co-captain of a prominent club soccer team in Southern California. In exchange for a promised bribe payment, he designated the applicant as a recruit for Yale women's soccer team, despite the fact that, as he knew at the time, she did not play competitive soccer. On or about January 1st, 2018, after the applicant was admitted to Yale, CW1 mailed CW3, the women's soccer coach, a check in the amount of $400,000. Relatives of the applicant subsequently paid CW1, the ringleader, the middleman guy, $1.2 million in multiple installments, including approximately $900,000 that was directed to KWF as a purported charitable donation.
Who sets the price points on this?
I guess
who
Yale,
says that's worth $400,000?
Yale is more expensive than the rest of them because it's an Ivy League school, right? I guess
so.
Because it's the only Ivy League on that list.
Yeah.
This almost soccer coach pocketed $400,000.
That's
and how this, much, these parents paid, I guess, $1.2 million, right? That's what we're assuming here to get their child into Yale.
Yale is private, right?
Yes.
It's private. Yeah. So we won't know what the men's soccer coach's or the women's soccer coach's salary is.
No.
$400,000 has got to be
more. Less than $400,000.
I mean, it's got to be more than what old boy's making in a year.
Yes.
It might be two years' salary or something like that. I don't know what they're paid, but we don't know. Private schools. Wow.
So we thought old Lori was paying a lot.
Wake up.
Wake up, Upstate. I'm William Quackenbush.
I'm Kelly Graham. Look, and we still have Hump Day headlines
we
to
do.
Bring
yes,
you.
Yes, we do.
I love that music so much. It puts me in a great mood. The irony is, it's not a great mood for the people involved. But anyway, do you want a few of these Hump Day headlines very quickly?
Oh, of course. Of course.
I'm going to read you this headline and you're going to think, what the heck? But just stay with me because it's really interesting and I thought it was hilarious. Think of recent situations, recent teams that have blown big leads, right? The Warriors blow a 3-1 lead in the finals. The Falcons blow a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. We've seen this happen. We have yet to see this kind of lead blown in the Iditarod. Here's your headline. Sorry, I'm trying to pull it together. Iditarod musher blows a 5-hour lead after his dogs refuse to race.
What? What?
He had a 5-hour lead in the Iditarod, which is, you know, the premier dog sled racing, or sled dog racing, I should say, event in the world. French musher Nicolas Petit. Musher. He's a musher. He had a commanding lead heading into Sunday's stage of the Iditarod. But epic blown lead happens even in the world of sled dog racing. Petit left the Unalakleet checkpoint with a 14-mile, 5-hour lead over the next closest competitor. With 200 miles remaining in the race, Petit was in solid position to win, right?
Yes.
Then, everything went wrong. Iditarod followers noticed that the GPS tracking for Petit's sled had stalled on the Bering Sea. This is just ridiculous.
Look, it stalled on the Bering Sea.
Okay, yeah.
Like, he could have drowned.
I know.
Like, you don't really know what that means.
Stalled on the Bering Sea at speeds below 2 miles an hour, then hovered right at 0 miles an hour. The extended delay in the middle of the sea shrunk his lead until it was gone. He went from first by 5 hours to his current position of fourth place. According to Petit, the mishap unfolded when two of his dogs on the 10-dog team started fighting about... They started fighting about a bathroom break. When he yelled at the dogs to stop, the rest of the team simply refused to continue. According to Petit, his dogs flew out of... Are these names real? Are these names real? I just... Out of...
It's Alaska.
Out of shock to lick. Like a rocket. But when one of his dogs wanted to go to the bathroom, another dog got a hold of him at one point and jumped on him while he was on the ground. So the one dog didn't like that the other dog had to stop and take a bathroom break. Petit yelled at the older dog to leave the younger dog alone, and that's when Petit said the other dogs changed. This is his quote, Quack. Everybody heard Daddy yelling, which doesn't happen, and then they wouldn't go anywhere anymore, he said. The dogs would eventually walk to the cabin after being forced to rest. Petit added that every dog on his team was healthy and doing fine, but the incident likely did cost him the Iditarod title.
Likely? You blew a 5-hour lead! That likely did it. Of course that did it.
How do you blow a 5-hour lead in the Iditarod?
I love this. From 864. Dogs named Le'Veon, Leonard, A.B., and Spurrier. Just quit halfway through. Just quit midway through the race.
Oh, man. Oof. Well, you know, when you think when you have a 14-mile, 5-hour lead, you're good to go. But when the dog just won't cooperate, you're done. You're done.
Wow.
A musher is only as good as his dogs. That's what they say, Quack.
Is that what they say?
In Alaska.
How many people you heard say that?
A few. Did you ever see Snow Dogs? That classic film?
No, I did not see
Cuba Gooding Jr.?
The classic
film
Snow
Dogs. And he's a
musher? No, it seemed like a movie that might make me cry. I'm not doing it.
No, it won't make you cry. But it really, it shows you the world of sled dog racing.
I don't love movies with dogs.
Really?
They're sad. They're sad. The dogs always die, spoiler alert. They always die or they have major issues.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to sit down and watch a movie about a dog, like, it's going to end up with the owner crying because the dog died.
I think.
Except Air Bud.
This musher was definitely sad.
I'll watch Air Bud.
He was the sad one. Oh, yeah, Air Buds. Those are classics.
Yeah.
Okay, I have two quick Florida woman stories. The Florida woman has been just out of control. What is wrong with Quark? Quark, pull it together. Go. Pull it together.
Just go.
Okay,
just go.
I have two
out.
Quick ones.
I'm out of this.
Quick Florida woman stories. I couldn't pick between either one, okay? I couldn't pick. This comes from CNN. Florida woman says demons made her steal rental car. This is ridiculous. A Florida woman who's accused of stealing a rental car claims that demons told her to do it. Employees at Ace Rent-A-Car in Jacksonville said the woman was upset because they overbooked. Well, that's on y'all. So she stole a vehicle from the lot. Authorities found her with the stolen car at a hotel. And she said, demons told me to do it. Surveillance video shows a woman wearing the same clothes at the front desk of the rental car. And she's seen driving off in, wait for it, Quack, a white Toyota RAV4. That's my car.
That's your car, but not white.
Not the same color.
It's not white.
But I just hate to see a RAV4 put in this position. So she said, I tried to rent it, but y'all didn't want me to rent a car. Y'all talking about how y'all didn't have any cars for rent, so I stole. That's what she said. That is what she said. She said the demons made her do it, so tough day for her. Now, I want to preface.
It seemed like she rationalized it, though. It seemed like she rationalized for someone who's
demon-possessed. They did overbook.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not on her side by any means, but you can't overbook and leave her out to dry. Okay, I want to preface this final story, Quack, with the man lived, okay? He's not dead, so that helps. That's why this story isn't terrible and people won't be mad at us. Okay? Just know that.
Okay.
This comes to us from Miami. It's never going to be good in Miami. Florida woman shoots boyfriend for snoring too loudly.
You know what? Classic source of anger in relationships.
He lived,
classic
though.
Source of anger.
He lived.
Oh, he lived.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
A Florida woman is accused of opening fire on her boyfriend with a shotgun because of his loud snoring. Moran, 47, is charged with attempted murder after deputies say she shot her boyfriend. Wait for it, Quack. Wait for this sentence. She shot her boyfriend of 3 weeks.
What?
Three weeks. During an argument over his loud snoring. According to court documents, the victim even showed up to their Cocoa Beach home on Wednesday with breathing nose strips in an effort to silence the problem.
What? How are you going to make a big deal about that? How are you going to... First of all, what's an argument about snoring? What's the argument
about?
You
snore too loudly, and you're
who's
not fixing
argue?
It.
What?
But he's trying to. He bought these nose strips to try to help himself.
I don't understand the argument part. I feel like the facts are pretty indisputable, and then it's basically like, well, I snore. Sorry.
Yeah. This is not great. Detectives say Moran initially said the shooting was accidental and that the gun went off while she was handing it to him. He claims she shot him because of his snoring. The boyfriend is in stable condition and recovering at a local hospital. So that's good. He lived. But
that's good he lived is actually the sentence that you
my favorite
you came
part of this
there.
Whole story is she shot her boyfriend of 3 weeks during an argument over his loud snoring. Come on, people.
Well, to be fair, she was still in the discovery phase, so she may just have found something that she didn't like
the
very
Florida
much.
The Florida woman has been out of control this week. Just
way out
share.
Of control.
Yeah. And that concludes our hump day headlines for the day.
Holy smokes. Well done. We never got to the SEC tournament. Do you want to do SEC tournament
yes,
real quick
quickly.
To close? All right. By the way, Notre Dame's up 9 on Georgia Tech, so I'm an idiot for taking Georgia Tech in this. 30-21.
Wow.
Notre Dame's made every shot. They're 13-21 from the floor. 13-21. They're on pace to score about 50. All right, SEC, you've got Kentucky and Tennessee plus 175. Auburn plus 500. LSU plus 550. Then it drops from there. Kelly, Kentucky plus Tennessee or the field in the SEC?
I'll take Kentucky plus Tennessee because even though we've seen how well LSU's played this year, how on earth are they going to go into this tournament without Smart and without Will Wade, with all this scandal and the black cloud hovering over them, and win the thing? They're not. I do not see that happening. That being said, LSU, because they're the one seed, they are on the side of the bracket without Kentucky or Tennessee. So it's definitely very possible that they make the finals. because they're going to have to win one game and then beat South Carolina and then make it to the championship game. I don't see LSU winning this with all that's happening with their program.
I don't either. I mean, I think Auburn could do it, but I feel like Auburn is a team that could easily win it or lose in the first round. They're not, you can't bet on them because they're not trustable. You can't trust them. I think Mississippi State could win it plus 1,200. Heck, why not? South Carolina. But how is South Carolina plus 3,300 and Ole Miss is plus 4,000? How is that happening?
Carolina does have that double bye.
Yeah.
And remember, Clemson fans, you need South Carolina to win that game.
Root for the Gamecocks.
Root for them.
It is what it is. I think Kentucky and Tennessee are both making it to the finals. I just don't see anybody else I like.
But Quack, they're on the same side of the bracket.
Oh, shoot. That's right. Dadgummit.
That's impossible.
You're right. Well, then, I don't know. Kentucky or Tennessee in the semis then. I forgot about that.
I think LSU could very well play for it, though, which is interesting.
Yeah. Who do you like, Kentucky or Tennessee?
No, I'm taking Kentucky or Tennessee plus. I'm taking those two.
No, so the winner of that.
Oh,
but who would you take specifically?
Kentucky.
You take Kentucky? Mm-hmm. I might go Tennessee. Veteran.
Tennessee won the more recent matchup.
I like veterans in tournaments. I like veterans. Also, Florida is playing better. They look a little better. We'll be off.